This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. This is the second weekend of the championship that we're going to be previewing here. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm joined by Jack Wright yet again. Jack, how did you find the first weekend of EFL action?
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. It's like having an old friend back and enjoyed every single second of it. So very nice indeed.
Yeah, it was good. We backed a few winners as well, didn't we? I think it was
That always helps.
Yeah, it was
good.
So
yeah, we did.
Hopefully the viewers and the listeners got on with a couple. I was happy that Millwall obliged. What were your winners?
We had the whole Bristol City overs, the only overs of the weekend.
Yeah, 93rd minute.
Every minute counts. But you backed the only winner where there was a two-goal cushion, so
easy.
Nice work,
and then a couple of good starts to our futures bets as well. Burnley looked impressive on Friday night, who I put up to win the league. Plymouth looked very good, who you had in a parlay, and Northwest and Southwest as well. Lots of reasons for lots of reasons to be positive going into this weekend's action as well. Before we get into it, you can follow both of us and all the other great sports handicappers over at Because We Win on Twitter. That's at Because We Win, one word. That'll be managed by everyone to promote their shows and the picks. So you can see all of our personal Twitter handles on there as well. And of course, you can find on the BetRivers network so much preview content, and on the BetRivers site, all the content, all the odds and the rest of it will be going through in this show as well. So let's get into the show, most importantly. And we'll start off, where we normally do it, we'll have three picks each from the championship, and then we'll have a quick look at League One and League Two. So stay tuned throughout the show to get all of our thoughts across the EFL. Where are you going for your first pick on in the championship, Jack?
Well, I'm going to go back to Bristol City again. There's a common theme between my three. Back to the well. Yeah, while there's still water in it, let's go. a common theme for my three picks in the championship is that they do involve sides I've actually seen a full 90 minutes of action of now. Well, so hopefully that's going to give me a little bit of an extra edge this week. So Bristol City, I didn't see, only saw highlights, but they were a default bet for me last season. Both teams to score was the default bet, and that's the bet that I'm going for here. Bristol City versus Sunderland. Both teams to score at -124. I was more than a little surprised to see that their first home game of the season, we could go in and back both teams to score at a backable price, very fair price indeed. 17 of 23 home games last season saw both teams score, which is a 74% ratio, by far and away the best in the league. Quite crazy stats. 139 goals at Ashton Gate last season. So, goals at both ends, of course, as you'd expect with both teams to score being there. No one outside the top six scored more goals than Bristol City, who scored 62, and only three sides conceded less. They conceded 77, and that was their main problem. As we've highlighted in the future show, Andreas Weimann got 22 goals and, of course, did get off the mark for us last week as well. So it's kind of, yes, indeed, normal services resumed there, which is very nice. So it's kind of, say, business as usual, really, for Bristol City. Went in front, scored a goal. Weimann got the goal, usual kind of setup as well, the cutback and the finish. But then gone and conceded two goals, contentious as they were. We won't go into that. We'll move on. But I did watch Sunderland, obviously. So for this bet, two people need to come to the party. And I did watch Sunderland. And the key thing for me normally when I'm looking for a both teams to score bet is are the away team capable of scoring? And they certainly are. I was impressed with them. Home to Coventry, obviously back in the championship after a fair while out of it. And they've got threats going forward for sure. Ross Stewart was very lively, covered so much ground. So unlucky probably not to actually get on the score sheet, but always on the shoulder of the defender. Some great movement from him. And they've got players to pick him out. Obviously, Jack Clark from Tottenham, but has performed in the Championship very well before, come up with the goal. Bit of a keeper error, but you've got to be there and you've got to put it away, and he did that. So he was lively as ever. I was impressed by Gooch down the right-hand side, obviously, who actually put the ball in for the goal. And good old Alex Pritchard looked like he is going to be a threat and take like a duck to water at this level, obviously, where he has performed at before and a little higher. So all things considered, I think a leaky Bristol City defence, which doesn't seem to be overly well patched up at this moment in time, but very, very exciting going forward. They created lots of chances at the weekend against Sunderland side that I think with Bristol City coming at them, they looked very dangerous on the counter. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route that leads to them scoring. But so with the stats on our side and with the eye test being ticked off, I'm happy to get on board with the both teams to score while we still can at -124.
-124, the one there, BTTS in Bristol City against Sunderland. My first tip is in the early game on Saturday, a game that you're going to be at, Jack, at Carrow Road, as Norwich host Wigan. And I'm afraid to say I'm getting against the Canaries. +115 is for Wigan or tie against Norwich. A few reasons for this. I think the market still has Norwich as being favourites or joint favourites for the league. There was absolutely nothing on Saturday in the 1-0 defeat at Cardiff that suggested they should be that. We've spoken before about Dean Smith, the manager, maybe getting under pressure fairly early. I think that the Carrow Road faithful will be going on Saturday pretty nervous after what they saw in the Cardiff game. And things could get ugly quite quickly here if things don't start too well. I thought Wigan were decent on opening day. They drew 0-0 at home to Preston, but Freddie Woodman in the Preston goal was clearly the man of the match in that game. And the expected goals number of 1.7 was one of the highest in the league on the Saturday that Wigan created. Loads of chances, just couldn't put any away. Compare that to Norwich, who I think created 0.3 XG despite being behind for the majority of the game. There was nothing in terms of their attacking play that suggested they were going to be able to get the likes of Cantwell and Pukki into the positions that they wanted to be in. And it feels like Norwich don't really have a start of play at the moment, if I'm honest. And I think Wigan will come into this game. Crucially, Liam Richardson, their manager, has kept the whole squad together that won League One last season. I think in the early part of the campaign, that has to be a big positive. The fact that this is a team that know each other, they've won a league together. And I think getting odds against about both a draw and the Wigan win looks like the way to play this. I'm confident they will serve it up to Norwich. And I think if you're backing Norwich this Saturday, you are taking a huge leap of faith that they are going to improve on Saturday's performance. And given Grant Hanley, probably the most certainly the most important defender in the team, being suspended after getting two yellow cards as well last weekend, there are quite a few reasons to be fairly fearful about Norwich. And I don't think they justify their short price at all. So that is my first one. Sorry, Jack, but at least,
No way I'd be taking Norwich at that price at this moment in time. You're right in everything that you said there. To be fair, I haven't seen them, and obviously knowing quite a lot about them, the style of play is a key element, and that's one of the elements that's kind of got the crowd on edge. And so just about to turn, if not already turning on Dean Smith. And 100%, if the game doesn't start well, or if we can get an early goal, that's not going to be a nice place to play football for Norwich City. That's for certain. So, definitely the value bet there. And I say you're right as well. Wigan looked like they should have got something more than a point in their last game. So, they'll come with confidence, good. And that's a danger.
I've got the seal of approval from a Norwich fan, so it's got to be a good one. Where are you going next?
I haven't upset me. I'm going to go upset the big man. I'm going to go against Queen's Park Rangers. So Nigel will not be happy with this at all. But Middlesbrough, I'm going to take. I've gone a little bit safe on this. I'm going to take Middlesbrough on the Asian handicap zero, which basically is draw no bet. Slightly better odds than go and draw no bet. But I watched the Middlesbrough versus West Brom game. So got a good read on Borough. I was looking forward to seeing them because obviously very much one of the favourites to get promoted this season. And then it was the stereotypical game of two halves, to be honest with you. Borough should definitely have put the game to bed in the first half, created a host of chances. They actually topped the XG charts from what I saw as well. So well up there. And so, yeah, I was looking forward to seeing how Ryan Giles was going to settle into that side. Obviously, expected it to be a good signing, but he lived up to bidding, was very impressive, complimented Isaiah Jones on that right-hand side very, very well. So there's now that double threat, which is what they were looking for. And obviously was heavily involved in the goal, which was scored by Isaiah Jones. So built and created down the left-hand side and finished off on the right. And I think we're going to see that and vice versa a lot of times this season for Borough. I say first half, very, very good. Second half, I'm going to give credit to West Brom rather than anti-Middlesbrough. But the other element is that Zach Steffen in goal was a complete polar opposite from what we were seeing last season. It's been a couple of podcasts since we put a bit of a boot into the former Middlesbrough goalkeeper, so we'll keep it out. But claiming crosses, looked safe, didn't have a chance with the goal that West Brom scored. So, that's a massive benefit and boost for them there. Lacked cutting edge, so the XG was there, just the goals wasn't. But Marcus Force signing is an interesting one. It's definitely got the potential to be finishing off these chances that they're created. On loan in the Championship briefly last season, only scored one goal, George, last season for Hull. He was on loan at, wasn't he? Any ideas where and who he scored that against?
I reckon it might have been at at QPR.
Do you know what? You're right. It was a Queen's Park Rangers. There we go. So we didn't even rehearse that one. So well done.
I knew it's a Crystal Palace. So.
You knew you did. Yeah. That wasn't there. I assume he'll start. He was on the bench at the weekend. So I assume he will get a start this time around because it didn't look too good in that front area. As far as QPR, the polar opposite, really. Very blunt. Only managed four shots in total. None of those on target. You're not going to win many games with that kind of data output. So only Cardiff, who you've already kind of alluded to, had a less XG than them. But at least Cardiff managed to win their game, of course. QPR lost 1-0 at Blackburn. So looking at the fans' reactions to that, they seem a little bit anti that performance, as you'd expect from the data that we can see there. So keeping the draw on side as a safety net, we do get a refund if it does end in a stalemate. But we'll expect Borough to put up a good performance here, take the 3 points. Against QPR side, who were better on the road last season and only put up kind of bottom half data for home performances. So Middlesbrough, confident bet, especially with the safety net of that draw.
Lovely stuff. I'm going to back Hull at +270, a big price at Preston. Now, disclaimer here, a lot of people watching and listening will know Nigel Seeley, one of the other handicappers on the Bet Rivers Network, and he has backed Preston, which, you know, is against what I think. You can choose who you prefer to side with. In the Futures podcast, I mentioned that I thought Hull were worth betting over their points. They got off to a winning start, and yes, there was some fortune in that win. The penalty they were awarded a 1-0 down was not a penalty. And then the winner that came in the 93rd minute was a deflected long-range strike. So looking at it just like that, you may think, well, they got lucky here. They didn't deserve their win. I'm not having that at all. They should have been level much earlier in the game. They played by far the best football in the match as well. And individual players were just playing at a level that is completely different to what we've seen from Hull in recent times. John Serry was running the show in the middle of the park. Ozan Tufan, who's come in over the summer, who is a player that I wasn't particularly positive about after his loan spell at Watford, oozed quality. Estupiñán, the striker, had a couple of good opportunities as well, who he mentioned, who I put up for first goal scorer. They just looked like a far better side than what we've seen in recent times. And even Sayed Manesh, a striker playing at left wing back, looked very lively as well. It's starting to look to me like Hull are a side who have a top six budget and who might actually be top six contenders if they carry on the way that they're going. And I think we can anticipate that they're going to improve week on week, unlike Preston, who, as I say, they played against Wigan on opening day. They drew 0-0, an okay result, but they conceded 1.7 XG and had to rely on their keeper, Freddie Woodman, to keep them in the game. They created a fair bit themselves. They weren't toothless in attack or anything like that. But at odds on, you know, if you were to compare the value and the wages of the two 11s that will be setting out against each other on Saturday, Hull will absolutely dwarf Preston. Now, that, of course, isn't always a measure of what the odds should be, but I do think Hull are continually being perceived as a bottom half Championship side when there's evidence mounting that they could have aspirations to get into the playoffs or even more themselves. So at +270, this is one of those where I think if this game took place in 6 weeks' time Hull will be far, far shorter once people have caught up with how good they maybe are and how much money they are investing into the playing side of things as well. So happy, not going to take any insurance here because it's too early in the season. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if I was wrong about Hull, but just at nearly 3-1 at plus 270, I think you just take the gamble and take them winning the game in 90 minutes. What's your third and final selection in the Championship?
Yeah, I'm going with both teams to score again. This time, Monday night's game. And again, yes, this one looks like a mouth-watering clash. West Brom versus Watford. So a great way to end the programme. So minus 127, the odds here. And just looking at the attack and talent on the pitch just is mouth-watering. Mentioned West Brom already, obviously, in that game of two halves. They were very, very poor in that first half, but were excellent in the second half. Jonathan Swift and Wallace were actually okay. They kind of carried West Brom a little bit in that first half, but they certainly lifted it in the second, linked for the goal. That Swift scored, both could have got on the score sheet and were causing lots and lots of problems, as we probably expected they would do. Another guy that made a massive impact was our good friend Daryl DK, who was unfortunately sat on the bench to start, but really made an impact when he came off it. Harassed, chased, power, pace, made chances out of nothing. And was impressed. So would be a big disappointment if he wasn't in the starting 11 here. But we'll see under Steve Bruce, see what he's got to do about it. And as for Watford, again, they played Monday night. Watched them against Sheffield United. And a mouth-watering front three, I think it's safe to say. João Pedro there. Also Ismail Assar. And for me, the man of the match was Emmanuel Dennis. I thought he was all over that, all over the pitch. Although you can have arguments for any of them, to be honest with you, but they looked a threat for certain. They looked a threat, and both these sides looked good on the counter as well. So I think there's got lots to like about this game as far as just on the paper, but as I say, as far as seeing this one unfold, be it creating chances, they've got it in the locker. But I think West Brom are going to have to will attack Watford, which will leave them exposed to the Watford counter attack. I think it just with all the talent in forward areas on the pitch for this one, I'd be very surprised, having seen both these defences in operation as well, if they can keep those attackers out. So a both seats to score, confident bet here at minus 127.
Yeah, nice. It's going to be a really interesting tactical battle here because I don't think either team is going to want to press too high. But then similarly, if you sit off, and you have the pace, you know, it's going to be, I don't know how it's going to really shape up given the pace they both have in behind, as you mentioned.
That's right. It's a conundrum.
Yeah, exactly. Into the final bet in the Championship, and I've got an under 2.5 double, a little parlay. I've mentioned Norwich a second ago. Under 2.5 there, I think, is the way to go again. As I say, Norwich creating very little. They restricted Cardiff to little as well, but I don't see any reason why that is going to be anything like a goal fest, especially for a Wigan side who are going to look to turn up at Carrow Road and would be delighted to go home with a point as well. And as I should say, I know you've had a couple of goals bets, but only one game in the Championship on opening weekend went over 2.5. So it's a league that maybe early signs are suggesting could be fairly cagey. The second leg of the double, though, is Swansea against Blackburn. Blackburn's game against QPR, you've already mentioned, neither team created anything of note, to be frank. Blackburn's goal was a long ranger from Lewis Travis. And I don't think there's any reason to think the Blackburn are going to be a side who, you know, in their game are going to create a great deal under John Dahl-Thomas. And it looks fairly defensive heavy. And similarly for Swansea in their game against Rotherham, both teams have got, I think, got about 0.5 XG. So again, with Swansea, there was nothing on opening weekend to suggest they're going to be a team to follow for goals. So the under 2.5 double pays plus 210. Is the way, and no, sorry, plus 217, the unders double for those two teams. Those are our tips in the Championship. I'll run quickly through the prices for the games that we haven't mentioned. On Friday night, we've got Birmingham against Huddersfield. Birmingham plus 148, Huddersfield very poor in opening day, plus 170, the tie plus 200. Unders favourites for all of these games, as you'd expect. Burnley, so impressive, as I mentioned, our tip for the futures market, minus 139 at home to Luton, plus 320. Stoke, minus 103 at home to Blackpool, good off to a winning start, plus 250. Reading, who lost to Blackpool in that opening game, they'll be desperate to get their first points of the season at home to Cardiff, plus 138, Reading, Cardiff, plus 180. Maybe a bit of a surprise to see Reading strong favourites for that one. We mentioned Bristol City, Sunderland, mentioned Preston, Hull, and Swansea, Blackburn, QPR, Borough we've done as well. Sheffield United, minus 134. And Millwall plus 340. Millwall are winners from last weekend, and they were probably next on the list for me, I must say. Sheffield United did not impress at all on Monday night, and they hosted Watford, and Millwall have the Millwall actually went out in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday night too. So not a great couple of days for those two teams, but Millwall strong on opening day, never quite as good away from home though. Coventry minus 159. Against Rotherham, plus 370 the other way. And then, as you said, the last game on Monday night is West Brom Watford, which we have done. So that brings us on to League One and League Two, where we have one tip from each. And in League One, it's over to you.
Yeah, and we're going to go for Peterborough versus Morecambe here, taking the home side on a -1 Asian handicap, minus 108. Peterborough looked on course for a massive shock last week, 2-0 down away at Cheltenham. And people were ripping up the tickets for strong favourites getting turned over. But it goes to show you, 60 minutes on the clock. We did mention them last week as far as their strength as scoring goals. And they turned on the afterburners, certainly in the second half. Still 2-0 down after 60 minutes, but ended up winning 3-2. Two goals for Johnson Clark-Harris there, of course, which we put up in our futures as well, which is very nice. and the best way I can probably describe Morecambe is they're just seriously punching. To be in League One, when you look at some of the size of the clubs there, Sheffield Wednesdays, Bolton, those sort of clubs, obviously they had Sunderland and those types in there last season. And you've got Morecambe that have managed to get out of that league through Derek Adams. And then he kind of went and come back and kept them in it last season. And said, that's a fantastic achievement just to do that. Got a point last week at home to Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury, again, someone else we mentioned, very solid under Steve Cottrell there. But they did give Shrewsbury 17 attempts at goal. And if they do that to this Peterborough side, it's a recipe for disaster and it's game over. Last season, Morecambe finished 2 points clear of the drop. But most of that was built around a solid home form. They had the second worst away record, losing 16 of 23. Expect much the same kind of setup this time round as well. They conceded the most goals in the league, 53 on the road as well. And they lost 10 of their last 17 on the road by two or more. I think they look to me like a side that once they go behind, then it's probably, that's gone and away they go. So, the firepower that Peterborough have got here, I expect them to be able to cover this handicap. Great news with this, if it is only a 1-0 win, I can't see Peterborough not winning this, and the odds reflect that. If they win by one, we obviously get our money back again on this one, but would expect them to rack up some goals in this one with the firepower that they've got.
Great stuff there, getting with Posh on the handicap. Into League Two for me, the final tip in this show. And I'm back in Salford at plus 210 away at Swindon. Salford raced into an early two-goal lead against last season's playoff-beaten finalist Mansfield with two early goals, Callum Hendry getting the first and Brandon Thomas Asante the second. They were their first two shots. And then after that, Mansfield looked to get back into the game but weren't really able to. And it was a really professional, impressive first performance under new manager Neil Wood, who's come in from the Manchester United Academy system as well. And yeah, I mean, they are one of the preseason favourites who did little in what was a very tough assignment to suggest they're going to be anything other than very, very good, unlike Swindon. Swindon lost their manager, Ben Garner, before the season started to Charlton. He took three players with them as well. They also lost their director of football or sporting director, Ben Chorley. They've replaced Garner with his assistant from last season. Given how long it took to do so, I don't think that was a plan from the get-go. And they've brought in a lot of players from academies who could prove to be very good, but they were certainly half-baked in terms of where their preparation was going into the season. And that was shown by a 3-0 defeat away at Harrogate on opening day. I can't believe that Swindon are plus 125 here. There were odds on earlier in the week, which was even more baffling, but I think Salford are by far the better side here. Yes, they're away from home, but that's why we're getting a decent price. They're the better side. I think they should probably be favourites in this one. And I think as we get closer and closer, to kick off, that price is going to continue moving in that direction as well. So I think the plus 210 for Salford to back up their opening day performance with another win in what should be a much easier game is the way to play that one as well. So those are our four tips each. Jack, before we go, why don't you read out your selections in case people have missed them?
Sure. Yeah, I've got Bristol City versus Sunderland, both teams to score at minus 124. Middlesbrough are zero Asian handicap, effectively draw no bet, at QPR, minus 129. West Brom versus Watford, both teams to score on the Monday night game at minus 127. And finally in League One, Peterborough versus Morecambe, minus one Asian handicap for Peterborough at minus 108.
Great stuff. I've got Wigan or Tye versus Norwich at plus 115. Hull to beat Preston at plus 270. And then an under 2.5 double, a little parlay. Under 2.5 goals in both the Swansea and Norwich games at plus 217. And then in League Two, Salford to beat Swindon at plus 210. That one was there. That brings us to a close. We'll be back again next week as well, so do check out the show, and hopefully we'll back another few winners there as well. Do check out the at Because We Win. That is the Twitter handle to look at, where you can find all the sports handicappers across the Bet Rivers network as well. He'll be updating that Twitter account, and you can find our individual Twitter handles there as well. Please do subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel, that is, and please leave a review as well. It makes a massive difference to us. And download this and all the other great content on the Bet Rivers Network on any podcast provider as well. Thank you very much to Jack. We'll be back again next week to review our picks and look again towards another weekend of EFL action. But in the meantime, please make sure you gamble responsibly, but most importantly, please do enjoy the football.